Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back on the week of Valentine's Day, indeed. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the King of Kings himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the man who tried to blackmail me with extortion.
Oh, Lord.
Which
yes,
he has no evidence of me.
The one with healthy feet, it is Sean Black in the building once again. Show 199, my friends. 199.
I don't care how many shows we've done. I don't care. I still want to get paid. That's all I care about.
Well, hey, the more show, the more chances.
Yeah, you tell that to my baby mama drama and my two kids. You tell them that, please. And on the other phone line, I have the lovely and talented Lady T in the house.
Hey, y'all.
Buenos, buenos, buenos.
Did Sean say the one with good feet?
Yes, I said the one with healthy feet.
Healthy feet. Wow. Okay.
I don't know what that's about. You know, I did not touch it. That's not my business.
Yes. We'll leave that one alone.
Yeah.
We'll move forward. How are you doing?
We all know.
I'm good. I'm good.
That's good.
Well, we all know Sean Black have problems and issues, and you know what? You could keep that to yourself. It's true.
Oh, Lord.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know the number to call us to get riled up, go crazy, or tell like it is. It's 347-989-8402. 347-989-8402.
Yeah, he's
Lady
sober.
T,
yep.
Yep. You know I'm sober. But you know what? Let's put some people off right now. And let me start with Lady T. Lady T, I'm assuming you watched the Grammys last night.
Yeah, I caught some of it.
Well, of course. Well, I can't speak for Sean Black. As for the Hot Rod, I don't care much about the Grammys. But
well, I've never really cared about the Grammys, so.
Okay. But there was some controversy last night, of course, because God forbid, people on the internet do not go crazy. But Lady T, did it bother you that Jennifer Lopez made a Motown tribute at the Grammys last night?
It didn't bother me that she made a tribute, but her performance sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just say why. People like Barry Gordy, I guess, when they first started Motown, the whole setup with it was nothing that like J-Lo presented it to be. I would have just preferred her to maybe do one song and then leave the stage. I was, like, wondering when they was going to hurry up and carry her off the stage every time I saw a dancer, like, you know, lift her off for the next segment.
Well, you were expecting, like, the Sandman to come out there with his cane and just pull her off?
Yeah, something needed to be done. At one point, I saw they lifted her. I was like, yes. Okay, next act is coming on. No.
It was really that bad?
Another scene. Yeah, no, I really was. It wasn't because it was J-Lo. It was just I thought the performance was nothing about, like, Motown. We got a little, you know, salsa to it. And, you know, I'm like, let's stick to the script. I don't know. It was just a performance that, don't get me wrong, if it was just a J-Lo performance, her performance would have been great. But it was a tribute to Motown. I didn't see anything like Motown about it.
Okay,
so
in other words, you didn't have a problem with J-Lo performing as herself, per se. It's the fact that
she was great with that.
So she is more the fact that she's not a Motown artist and didn't come up from that particular genre, so she shouldn't have done the tribute. Is that what you think it is?
No, not so much so that she's not a Motown artist. I just didn't see any Motown in her performance.
Mm-hmm.
It just
had a little twist to it.
You know what I mean? I don't know how to describe it to you guys, but her performance was great being that it was her. You know what I mean? But
okay.
I just didn't feel Motown. Even when I was watching, I was like, okay, she's singing good. I'm trying to get into it, but I still wasn't feeling it. I don't know.
Okay. So I guess
Sean,
I understand where you're coming from.
No, Sean, you're right. A lot of people criticize her for what you just questioned. because of her, like, what does J-Lo know about Motown? Why does it have to be Latina artist to perform a Motown song? And she's like, you know, it could be anyone who has Motown could perform. The performance was that horrible. And internet, of course, like anything else, threw it apart. But
it doesn't even have to be that she was Latina. Yeah, it had nothing to do with that, because I would have still give whomever performed in the past as far as that. That has nothing to do with it.
So this was nothing. This was nothing like the controversy that happened with Madonna after the Aretha Franklin tribute that she did. Because I remember when she did, I forgot what the performance was that she actually did, that everybody lost their mind. How could she be doing the roles and doing all of this stuff, and it's not for her to do, and why would Madonna be doing it? And I think that that's probably, I think in the way that the media has portrayed a lot of this stuff, and Hot Rod, we talked about this many times as far as race goes, that race sometimes plays a role in the perception of somebody doing something. I don't think anybody would have had a problem if, say, Anita Baker did it, or if Toni Braxton did it, or Fantasia, or
Jennifer Houston.
Exactly. I think that's probably
Jennifer
what I think
Hudson.
It is.
Yeah. So may have, if they didn't, you know, bring the, let's say, the soul to it. I don't know. You may have been just as mad, but it had nothing for me personally to do with the controversy, okay, because she's Latina and she's doing it. I'm thinking, so what? Okay. But I just didn't think she pulled it off regardless. So it had nothing to do with, okay, she's Latina and she didn't do it. No.
I'll have to check it on YouTube and find out, see how it is. Because I saw a clip of it on the news and it didn't do it much justice.
Nah.
We have K-Dog. I'm sure K-Dog has something to say about J-Lo and her performance.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Hey, what's going on?
Well, hey, I saw the performance last night, and I didn't like it. And I'm going to tell you why I didn't like it. See, Motown is soul music. Motown is the sound of young America, as they called it back in the 60s. Again, and I could echo what Lady T was saying, and she's absolutely right, because, you see, I didn't have a problem with J-Lo performing, but the way she was performing it on the awards. You understand what I'm saying? The way she performed the Motown song, there was no real soul of Motown the way she was performing. You know, I could agree that, yes, Smokey Robinson, this is the man who wrote the Motown sound, along with other songwriters as well, Holland Dozier and Holland and Ashford and Simpson and many others. I was waiting for Smokey Robinson, or even to bring back Diana Ross to perform some of the songs in Motown. I was even waiting for maybe the Temptations revival to come out and sing. But however, J-Lo, it was the wrong performance for her. She should have just stuck to one song, and then after that, just like she said, get off the stage afterwards.
Well,
that's how I saw it.
Who do you blame overall, J-Lo or the producers of the Grammys?
Well, the producers
really
did it. From the beginning, there was a lot of controversy, because a lot of people felt, even before this performance, when they had announced that J-Lo was going to take part in the tribute to Motown, people were like, are you serious? Why would you pick J-Lo to do the performance? No disrespect to her as a performer, but she's not Motown material. You understand what I'm saying?
And I think this is going to bring up an argument, as I just stated earlier, with when someone chooses to do a tribute for a particular genre of music, when is it looked at as being flattery or just flat? When you see a particular artist, somebody thinks of Bollywood music, they think of somebody from Indian descent, from Asian descent, doing a song of Bollywood. When somebody is doing hip-hop, they're thinking about somebody that is within the genre. Or
exactly.
Grunge rock, they're thinking of something along those lines. They're not thinking of somebody outside of the genre doing it and doing it well enough to think that, oh, wow, that could have been done. Now, I think, which is kind of interesting, that there are other artists that are soulful enough just from thinking of voices. Ed Sheeran,
yeah,
who has a very soulful voice.
Or maybe Christina Aguilera.
Robin Thicke is another person that comes to mind when
yeah,
I think of somebody that has a soulful voice.
Yes,
I think of you, somebody like that. But as far as J-Lo, I would have to, like I said, I'd have to look at the performance to judge for myself and listen to it. But I think it's much more what it sounds like is that they either picked the wrong person or somebody from the wrong genre to represent the tribute. Is what this one the gist that I'm getting
more
from.
Or less,
yeah,
what you said, somebody from the wrong genre.
The genre,
because
exactly,
she put a little Latin spin to the Motown. I mean, it is what it is. I just didn't think the performance
right
was good. So
didn't like the way she sang it. You know, the way she sang the song, because if you listen to a Motown, if you listen to Motown, like you said, there's Robin Thicke, there's Ed Sheeran, even Christina Aguilera, even Jessie J, you know, it wouldn't be a problem. But however, when it comes to the Motown sound, you have to have that soul to sing a Motown song. And when she was singing Heatwave, I'm like, are you serious? It doesn't sound right.
But guys,
okay,
right?
Mm-hmm.
You talking about the Grammys? Can we talk about a performance that was hot?
Alicia Keys?
Cardi B.
Yeah, she did. She bought it. She bought it.
Okay. I'm not a big fan of Cardi B, but I give credit where credit is due. She did her thing. She won. And, of course, you know, there were some people that was upset about Taylor Swift and Ariana Grande, that she tweeted something about Cardi B winning what, Rap Album of the Year, I believe.
Yeah, she was throwing shade at Cardi B.
You know, and you know what? A lot of people have those shades to Cardi B, but she takes it very well, which I give her props for that, you know. So me and the guys talk about that work. She went from a stripper to winning a Grammy.
Mm-hmm.
That's talk about turning your life around. More props for her. Do I think she's overrated? Of course, but hey, that's just me. I'm not a hater. I just think she's not all that. But good for her. Why do you love Cardi B so much, Tisha?
I actually just have respect for Cardi B from where she came up from and changed her life. It's no different than anybody else turning their life around. I don't know. I just like the I don't know, everybody's forgetting about the Asian pianist on her
oh yes, she was on point,
you know,
that
performance. I was checking that out. I was like, does
she
anybody see
point
this girl?
That was the only
yes
thing that I saw the entire Grammys. I actually turned on the channel as it was happening. She just started to do that, and that was by
yeah
far the single most impressive thing I've seen anybody do at the Grammys in a long
exactly
long time.
Well, besides me being on the Grammys, come on, give me some credit. I want to mention one more thing about the Grammys. I sent this picture out to Sean. Of course, at the red carpet, people have to make everything about politics, which I just can't stand. But there was an artist wearing a dress that caught everybody's attention. It was a dress shaped as a wall. And it had the sign, "Build the Wall." Sean,
I know
your
who you're talking about.
Right away when you saw that dress.
I shook my head. I was like, okay, we know when artists have a platform to talk about something political, there's a good possibility that they're going to do it, and it usually depends on how tasteful it's going to be, when it's going to be, what are they going to say, what they're going to do, and in this instance, It was out there for everybody to see. I mean, you have to – I'm trying to figure out what to actually say about it. I'm kind of shocked. I wasn't expecting something like that. But when you see an artist show up on a particular thing, her name is Joy Villa.
She's been known for stirring controversy
yes
before. She's
and
done before.
To dress up as an actual wall – and having the whole, I think she had the MAGA hat stitched
yeah,
into
the
dress as well.
No, she had a purse that said "Make America Great Again."
Yeah, the
purse.
As a purse. I think we know what the idea was behind it, but it just came off as really, really not necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to like, I understand why everybody want to use a power, use a platform to make a statement. But like I said back in football and everything else, there's a time and place for everything. Like, if you're watching the Grammys or any award show, you want to see what they're wearing, of course. But something like that, like, really? Do we have to talk?
I think that was the perfect opportunity. Why not? That was the perfect opportunity because everybody's watching the Grammys. Now you have their attention. Let me do this thing with the wall. Why not? That's what people do to get attention. That was the perfect opportunity for her to do that, I think.
And as we've said before, most people that are going to protest, the whole premise of a protest is to make the people that you're protesting towards feel uncomfortable.
Exactly.
You can't say that nobody was uncomfortable after seeing that. So...
Social media had a lot to say about that.
They had plenty to say about it.
And guys, don't forget, Kanye wasn't available to wear that because if he was, he would have came to the Grammys and wore it, you know?
Oh,
yeah.
Lord. Well, talk about...
We'd be talking about that a lot, too.
Well, talk about wearing stuff and talk about protesting as well. Gucci and Prada, they've been like a social media outcry of protesters towards Gucci and Prada over a blackface situation, Sean Black?
Yes. They decided on their website to debut something, some sort of couture. It's like a turtleneck sweater. And when you pull the turtleneck sweater up, it has a balaclava that covers the face. And it had red lips around the mouth area to make it actually look like it mimicked blackface. I don't remember what the actual description was supposed to be for or how they explained it, but needless to say, after everything that's been going on in the news, as we talked about last week with the Democratic governor in Virginia, and all of this blackface stuff that's been going on, the last thing anybody needs is to see an actual company come up with a blackface sweater and trying to make this into some sort of hip fashion statement, which is absolutely disgusting. But Hot Rod and I, we discuss these things on a regular basis. And what was that thing that a former executive that used to work in the WWE, Eric Bischoff, used to say? Controversy creates cash? That's exactly why that was done.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm not upset. I'm not upset. I understand, and I respect it. People may not agree with that, but guess what? It's controversy. People will buy it regardless. And I love what Tisha posted on social media a couple of days ago, which kind of proved our point about bigotry about this type of thing, how there's artists that go out there and protest, don't buy Gucci, don't buy Prada, don't buy this, don't buy that.
Yeah.
But yeah, someone like Beyonce, I don't know how long ago this picture, who's wearing a dress or a shirt with the same black face, similar black face on it, Sean.
Right. As a matter of fact, what she was wearing, I'm sorry, Hot Rod, for interrupting, but the image that she was wearing, that actually came from a very racist cartoon called Sambo back in the day. Yeah, it did.
And Beyonce wearing it, but no one didn't make any noise about that. Go figure why. Because Beyonce wear it is okay, or God forbid, a white person or somebody else wear it, or hell breaks loose. And I'm not saying, I'm not defending it, but let's just say someone from Prada sees that. Now, wait a minute, Beyonce's wearing that? That could be a marketing genius. Let us make some money off of it.
And you know how many times, we've heard white people on in certain interviews actually are confused as to what African Americans find offensive and what isn't. Basically because in a lot of instances, at least from their point of view, there seems to be a double standard. Now, as far as I'm concerned, as far as blackface in general, blackface is straight disgusting. It doesn't need to be around. Yet we recognize its past and try not to ignore it. But at the same time, as I said before, with this whole thing where you have a lot of white people that look at the situation and wonder, well, if he can say the N-word but I can't, Well, how come he can rap this? He can say everything else but the N-word. Or he could dress up like Michael Jackson as long as he doesn't put paint on his face. Or he can, and there is that whole ideal. The point being, you either don't do it, or there's got to be a teachable way to explain why it should never be done. Same
right.
way with the
right.
N-word,
it's
same way with blackface, same way with any of the other racist iconography that we see in society and over the years. So that's something that needs to be explained and brought up.
No, that's true.
So it's kind of like we set the tones in order, like how we want to be treated in the sense. You know what I mean? So with her wearing it, don't forget it, she didn't make that shirt. That wasn't on her label or her husband's label. You know what I mean? It was a shirt that was by another designer. So when she saw that shirt, instead of not purchasing it, how about you had addressed that designer or brought that designer out, you know, then? No, you chose to wear it and rock with the designer. So you're saying it's okay. Sambo is okay to me.
And
you know
a lot of
mean?
People
so
would probably
right.
look at it as some sort of a representation of some other message that she's trying to send by wearing it.
True.
The problem is
she
it's going to be lost in the translation if it's not explained as to why it was done. Imagine if she was to wear something like that, if she was doing the when she did the Super Bowl halftime show. Imagine wearing that during the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. It would have
Sean, I'm sorry. With that message, Sean, alone, that what you just said, imagine as a designer, I mean, wait a minute. Beyonce is doing it. She has millions of fans. So as a white designer, let me decide. Am I wrong trying to make a profit off your marketing overall?
Right, and off of your own people marketing it. So
exactly.
It's kind of saying, hey, it's okay. You can call us, nigga. It's okay. But people, this
like
is the thing that's wrong with black people. You need to take care of the right and wrong of your home first before you go out there and preach.
Right on.
Take care of that first before you preach your black power. Take care of your home first and have what's right and wrong for blacks corrected in your home first before you go out there preaching with Umar Johnson and whomever. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying overall we are our own worst enemy. And like you guys said, this is a double standard.
And it's sad.
It's okay for K-Dawg, but not okay for High Rock.
But look at what we're doing. You accept it. You know what it is? What we're doing, unfortunately, we ought to get our head examined because this is absolutely like, it's sad because what you're doing is this. Okay, you're using the N-word. You're using all of this, but yet the white person, oh my goodness, oh that person's racist, but yet we're doing it to ourselves, too, because what we're doing is totally wrong. You're not getting the point. And unfortunately, it comes from the home. Take care of the home first. You understand what I'm saying? Take care of educate your children first on who they are as a people. Don't just sit there and accept the fact that, you know, you're degrading yourself. Because you know what I mean? It's like it's wrong when they degrade us, but it's far worse when we're doing it to each other. You understand?
Well,
it's just wrong.
True. There's one more thing I'd like to add before we go to the next one. With this protest nonsense that we go through, when celebrity says, you know, we need to protest this, protest that, why we are protesting on something that we know that we're going on forever? Like, we get upset over and over and over the same thing, but we still continue to buy it. Like, Sean said a few shows back, well, I'm Lorraine. He don't like black people, but we still buy his stuff. Tommy Hilfiger, same thing. Guess, Louis Vuitton, all these name brand companies. And most of them are racist or don't care for black people, but still, the black people still go out and buy the stuff. So once again, why should we be upset over this blackface situation? Because out in the open? Sean?
And I guess that's the thought process, you know. And we have to now realize that when we talk about not just protesting, but also having the moral compass to make sure that it's not a definition of a protest, if there's something fundamentally wrong with a particular item, a product, something along those lines that is maybe impinging on a racial stereotype or impinging on a neighborhood or something along those lines, it has to be done throughout. and not just enough so that one group of people will either benefit or lose out on either side of the argument. And that's part of why that double standard that I brought up earlier is prevalent when a lot of people look at these protests. Well, how can you protest this but not protest that? When is it convenient for you to say something against this group but not against that group? And those are the kinds of questions that happen when you see all of these clashes and all of the things happening, especially on social media.
And guys, right. Can I say one thing with this topic? You have Spike Lee who said he's going to boycott Gucci, but he goes until they bring black designers to it. So which one is it? You're trying to get black people jobs with Gucci, or you're trying to protest because of the sweater that they made? I don't get it. I didn't get it. He confused me with that one.
And to your point, Tisha, what I'm about to say is, why they don't buy from black designers in the first place and get them support and put them on the map?
Probably not too many out there.
Not too many out there because it's not, you know, look back then. I mean, okay, I could go back 20 years. In the 90s, the black designers I remember who were making clothes, like you had Cross Colors, you had Fat Farm,
you had Damage.
Damage. You had I remember when Diddy came out with Sean John, Jay-Z came out with Rockaware, and Carl Kanai, and all these other designers that were coming out back in the 90s, all these other black designers. And I remember a lot of people were saying, hey, man, support the brothers who are out there making the clothes, you know, buy the clothes, because this was during a very, this was during a time that of us were wearing the design, the top designers, like the Ralph Lauren, the Tommy Hilfigers, the Guess jeans. I remember when all of that came out. But then after, there was also something that was very good, that there was pride, especially when you had, again, Carl Kanai, FUBU, Fat Farm, Sean John, Rockaware. You know, they used to make clothes. They used to come out with the clothes. And
who do
we
have now? Name the names that we have now. Who do we have now?
I can't say any of them. Not enough. Because if they are out there, then they're not that big. I'm sorry.
And that's the problem.
It's a problem. You know, we're not mainstream anymore. We're not putting out the clothes for the people to wear.
So once again, as a community, we get upset over the white man, that, but at the same time, we're not doing anything.
We're not doing anything.
And not doing anything for ourselves, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just remember, way back last year, we had just talked about the African-American kid on that website that had the monkey label on his shirt, and his mother had no problem with the advertisement involved. Everybody else did, but the parent didn't. So this goes into that argument as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you have that. You're right about that.
Talk about argument. I called a couple of days ago, I called Sean, because I was very upset about something. But before I get into that, quickly, Sean, your president spoke last week at the State of the Union address.
Goodness. Why is he have to be my president?
My goodness.
Because if I tell Kim that he's president, he will go off on me. So I'm referring to you. So, Sean, what was your thought about your president speaking at the State of the Union?
First and foremost, he's not my president. Let's get that straight. I didn't vote for the guy. Anyway, going on the tangent that he went on was basically, seemingly, another speech about how great he was. Because that's seemingly all he ever seems to do when he makes these speeches, a big grandiose speech in front of everybody, how partisan the argument was, where he basically used a lot of those same tactics that he would normally use about, well, look at unemployment is at the lowest it's ever been, and all of the things that I've done, we want border control, we want this, we want that, and everything else. And as he's done before, he's taken credit for some of the things that were already in play, like the unemployment and jobs and everything else has been going on, the stock market going up and down. But mostly, when you talk about the things that this person is bringing in, and talking about to the American people, the one thing that happens going forward with this is that he's given the rich, as we talked about with these tax cuts, huge amounts of money. And the reason why Hot Rod was so upset that he talked to me about is because most of those people that got these tax the tax cuts that the president, who has been spouting off all the things that I've done, I'm such a great president, you may have gotten a little more money in your check, but it's the following year. And what did I tell you was going to happen as this debt started to get bigger and bigger because of these tax cuts? Hot Rod, what happened to your tax return?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't. To keep it long, I'm going to try to keep the story as short as possible. As K-Dog, Sean, and Lady Tino, I threw a big party for my daughter for her birthday. Thank you all. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, you know what, this year I'm going to take my kids, my family to a nice vacation, because I did not go on vacation last year because I saved up money for my daughter's birthday card. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get my taxes early right away, thinking, you know what, so without tax money, I'll be able to take my family on vacation. But the good news is I don't owe anything, thank God. The bad news is, just like every other American out there, for give or take, even though I made a little bit more money than last year, I'm taking home less than what I did the last couple of years. So when I did my tax return, you cannot deduct this, you cannot deduct that, you cannot do this. I was lucky to get child credit for it. But they're like, and like the tax guy said, oh, you made this, you made that, blah, blah, blah. What are you getting? I'm just making the numbers up, like $3,000 back. Like, wait a minute. Explain that to me over again. How the hell did I make more money? Well, I'm getting this money back.
Hmm.
It's always due to the new tax.
Yeah.
So you basically screwed
my
family vacation.
Yeah, they took a big piece of the pie.
Yeah, so you screwed my family vacation. So you can build your damn wall. So the reason why I brought this topic up because, like I told Sean, I don't care if you support Trump or not, or whoever you want to support. That doesn't bother me. I just can't stand when Trump supporters come up to me and praise him like he's a god. Like he's saving this country right now. Like he's the best thing that's happening in the world right now, which this country's in chaos. And one thing I told Sean, one thing these Americans need to think about in the next election, Trump had messed up with your money twice, with the government shutdown and also with the taxes. And I was told today that most Americans, either you are old or if you do get less, you get less. The average people that are getting less than 10% compared to last year. That's a big chunk of change right there.
Yeah.
Now,
yes,
it is.
To give it back to the government.
The crazy part about this whole thing is, you remember hearing about all of the Republicans talking about, well, all of the Democrats that are going out there are all socialists. They're trying to get socialism in and everything else, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if you think about the definition of a socialist or what socialism is supposed to be, it's supposed to be other people setting a system in place so that if you don't, quote-unquote, do anything, there's still something there for you in the future, i.e., Social Security, which is, in principle, a socialist program, meaning you work, the government takes money out of your pocket, and when you get to a certain age and you retire, you get that money back for the rest of your life. Preferably, you live long enough to be able to see it.
Right.
Now, what we've been seeing, based on the tax cuts and everything, is socialism, but for the rich. The reason why I say that is, The banks, they get to screw up your money. The people that work for them that are in executive positions, they're making tons and tons of money to screw up with everything.
Boy,
like we had the Wells Fargo instance where they were making ghost accounts and pulling in money from other people off the top. Now, while they go bankrupt and all of these other places go bankrupt, the guys at the top, they get severance pay. They get billions and billions of dollars off the top, and what happens to the people below them? They get fired.
Yeah.
And that's part of the issue. So you got socialism versus capitalism. Capitalism is basically you earning your keep and getting back out what you put in. That's the difference. The problem is the capitalist thought process, which is everybody is touting, doesn't work for the poor. But that's what they're throwing out at the poor. The rich are seemingly getting away with the quote-unquote socialist tactics that have been going on. And it's sad.
But Sean, But Sean, everybody, we've seen this happen before, and this happened during the Reagan era. Remember that trickle-down economy when all of that was happening?
And it doesn't work.
Who was getting hit with the higher taxes? Mm-hmm. The regular folks, not the rich. And now here it is again in 2019. We see under this Trump administration the mess that's going on.
And here's something else that's funny. The rich folks that we were talking about, there was just something on the news just yesterterday. They were talking about how people that live in the New York area and up north are now migrating to Florida, not just because of the weather, because of the taxes. They're getting I believe if you're making at least either $200,000 or higher, you're getting taxed almost 40% more than everybody else. So the ones that are making lots and lots of money, they're getting 40% of their taxes taken out. So they're moving down to Florida where it's actually easier. And if I'm not mistaken, there is no income tax in certain spots in Florida, like in Texas and areas like that. So they're not getting taxed anywhere near as high as if they were living in, let's say, New York or in California or some of the other places. That's insane.
And for the people who's around the world who's listening to us, in New York, you can have a couple or a family that will make over six figures and still be struggling trying to survive in New York City. So imagine you're busting your ass trying to provide for your family, still struggling, even though you're making a decent amount of money, over six figures. You take six figures, it's okay to live for a far, but it's not. And so to have taxes to affect it another way is insane.
You know something, one thing about his speech, whoever wrote it, it was incredible writing. I actually at one point was like, wow, he looks like a really good president right now. No, who I love writing, and I'm just like, the writer on that, it was convincing me for a second, and I had to snap the heck up out of it because I was like in a trance, like, this is our president. Like, this is the guy. And it's really sad because you know why I felt like that? In 2020, I see some people may really vote for him after listening to that speech. I'm telling you that right now. He was right on point with it. His writers was on point. His facial expression, he didn't do what he normally does. I was just like, wow.
Well, he still did some of the normal stuff he does. Like when he finishes saying some statement, he pulls away from the microphone and turns his head so that he can breathe in the applause.
Yeah,
like some
that was so minor to me,
that
Sean.
Was so disgusting.
I was so like in a trance. Like almost made me say, go to the ballot. Heck to the no, though.
Well, you want to know what'll change that? The tax cuts that I just talked about. That he saved the banking industry $21 billion in tax cuts. That's what the banking industry got. And you want to know who's going to pay for all of that? The 4,000 employees in those banks that have lost their jobs. Because that $21 billion that they saved, they don't have to trickle down to their employees that are working there. So you know what they did? Yep. They slashed all of those jobs. So that's what's going on. Well, when you hear people like Bernie Sanders and others talk about all of the wealth goes to the top percent, I believe it's the top 2% of all of the country's wealth are going to those billionaires and billionaires. And you know what ends up happening?
The 1%ers.
Yeah, those people have children.
They're going to rake in the benefits.
And those people have children, and the ones that have that wealth, they funnel it into inheritance and give it to their children. And you know what those children do? They grow up, they become trust fund babies, they grow up and become trust fund adults, and then they funnel it back into their own family. And none of that money goes back into the United States to any of the people that need it.
But I agree with Tisha. Once again, despite all the problems that's going on, even though the government shutdown has affected a lot of people, despite that, a lot of taxes have been ruined. Don't be surprised, once again, that people are stupid enough to vote for this man again in office in 2020.
Oh yes. That's no surprise.
Sean will preach to me all the moral rights, all good and the bad, but Sean, he was wrong before. I'm just saying, do not be surprised if people are stupid enough to vote for this man again. That's what I'm saying.
And you
know
as
what?
You stated, if they're stupid enough to vote for it again, we know insanity is just something that's performed the same time over and over and expecting a different result. So if that's what the case is, then this country gets what it deserves.
Exactly. No, because you know what? Time and time again, we've seen this because here's what I've seen. Like Saturday, I was having a conversation at the barbershop about all of this, and they said it wouldn't be a surprise because look at the kind of support that he had in his first term. Look at all the support that he has, and who do you see supporting him?
He's got all type of things. Not just white people. He's got all type of support.
Yeah, all types. And that's the scary part about it.
Here's a question for you before I go to the last topic.
Uh-huh.
Right now we have 9 candidates on the Democratic Party running for president. Put that name in the bag. Do you think it's too early for the Democrats to throw their name into the mix, or do you think the Democratic Party should focus on 1 or 2 major leaders for them to defeat Trump?
Well, right now, we're a year away from this election, and what I could say for the Democratic Party, there is going to be a major nominee now. Who is going to be the nominee? I can't predict it. I can't call it. But what they're going to have to do is this. They are going to have to campaign very, very, very hard to convince the people to get their votes. Now, will the 2 candidates? I cannot say.
Pick two right now, you think. Pick two at the top of your head. Come on.
Pick two that will pop in my head. Well, I could say if Joe Biden was to run, it would be good. And who else could I say in the categories? Because
Crooked Booker,
Cory Booker has the right, message, but America's not ready for his message, to be honest.
And I'm firmly believing that there's going to be at least 3 more people that is going to come out of left field that no one is going to think of that's going to capture the Democrats' attention. I don't know who they are, but at some point they will, because as we see, we've got, 12 people already right now. And if we remember back during the 2016 campaign, we had how many, not only Democrats, but Republicans going in as well, because we knew President Obama was leaving. So you had that many more. President Trump is the actual incumbent, so he's going to have all of these people, and not a single Republican is going to run against Trump. We know that.
No.
I think they
are holding out. It's going to be I think at least 2 more candidates from the left field that is going to come.
Yeah.
They're kind of just sitting back in the cut right now to see where this country is going right now. That's what I think.
They're trying to gauge whether it's worth the run.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you, those candidates that are just sitting back, relaxing, watching everything, they're going to make a lot of noise. There'll be people that you would least expect to run for president, and they're going to come out, and they're going to come out swinging.
Okay.
It's going to be a
fight. Last topic. All right, Sean Black, your boy, Liam Nielsen. Why is he in deep trouble lately? Well, not really in deep trouble, but
Liam Neeson decided to explain, because of his movie that he's doing, which is a movie about revenge, without getting into any plots, went on and spoke of his own personal issue where he had either a family friend or a relative who was raped many, many years ago. And was raped by
40 years ago.
Yes. And was apparently raped by a black man, so was told. He explained himself without being prodded or anybody coming out of the woodworks and saying this was the case, was that at the time that this happened, he was so filled with rage, he was looking for any black man to start a fight and actually thought about killing someone. Luckily for him, he didn't do it, but he brought it up he was kind of nobody. Like I said, nobody actually came and actually brought it to him. Like it was some sort of secret that he was hiding for like some sort of time or whatever. He openly brought it up, and he explained himself that this is something that needed to be spoken of, even though the language that I had and the hatred that I had in me was for back then. The only way we can start a conversation is if we're honest and frank with this kind of discussion and bring it up to everyone else. So he got into a lot of hot water over this, but at least he had the guts to own this whole thing. What do you guys think of this situation now?
Tisha? I mean, maybe Tisha?
Me, in all honesty, I think that he brought it up to send a message, and the message is no different from, let's say, your coworker that's sitting next to you that may have felt some sort of rage because of a black person or white person did them wrong. He corrected himself and also said the reason why he felt the rage, which is understandable, but I don't know if to classify him, oh, he's a racist and this, that, the next. So I just think that it also sends a message. I got the message in what he was trying to say. Was it the right time? Maybe when Obama or Bush was president and you was doing this movie, you could have said that. But we living in a different time right now. It's very like racism sensitive type stuff when all of this stuff has been going on for the longest. Racism isn't going anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Hot Rod agree with Lady T 100%. Mark it down on your calendar, please.
Oh, my gosh. That means you're not sober right now.
Or maybe he is, actually.
Maybe.
That's the scary part.
No, I just got two shots just now. Well, go ahead, Kato, before I answer. Go ahead, Kato.
Well, in all honesty, he wanted to come out and say it, and Lady T said it best. It is true, because you know what? You could be sitting next to your coworker and you don't know how your coworker feels. You don't know that. So he came out and he was honest. I'll give him nails on that. He wasn't beating around the bush.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. Go ahead. That's what
I think Lady T hit it on the bush, like now is not the time to talk about it, because right now we're in a racial area, because this generation is full of it.
It's very much divided. I mean racism, and it's true, racism is not going anywhere. It's going to continue to plague forever, because let me just break it down like this. You see, nobody is born a racist. It's something that you are taught to be. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You look at someone who's a racist, look at their families. What do their families teach them about people of different races?
And nothing people have to realize. This is 40 years ago. Back
right.
then.
Mm-hmm.
Racism was a different level, and this did not happen in the United States. This probably happened in Ireland.
It happened in Ireland.
Think about this. Think about this, guys. This, once again, 34 years ago. Do you think there was not black people in Ireland? Mm-hmm. So to find a black person in that area, it probably was a little bit easier back then.
Very easier.
I mean,
very much easier.
If anyone has ever watched a soccer match on TV, you know how a lot of racist chants go through certain areas in certain countries.
Oh, yes, it
so
does.
So you
oh,
know,
yes,
if you think that the United States is the only place that has the kind of racial ambiguity that you think is going
mm-hmm.
on here, you should see some of the stuff that goes on in some of these soccer matches as far as the crowd
yeah,
chants.
And
going into
in
the
Europe,
audience, here, oh, it's crazy.
It runs mm-hmm. rampant in Europe. I mean, and especially in places like I've spoken to a couple of people. They've told me about what goes on in England. They said, oh, you want to talk about racism? It's in your face, racism in England, in France, and in many other countries in Europe. Racism is real. In Spain, as a matter of fact, they look at you, they say like this, oh, wow, look at the chocolate people, you know? It's real out there. It's
yeah, that's
really
actually
real.
Putting it kindly from what you just said.
No, but I just can't think when we quickly to judge and talk about someone's action as in the past, like, you know what? Can someone just change or become a better person over 30, 40 years? I'm like, This happened 40 years ago. Thank God I saw him. Right. He did not kill anyone.
Exactly.
You know, what he did wasn't a crime. He's like, listen, I made a mistake. I talk about it. I was going to move on. But what I found that funny was, me and my cousin was watching the talk show that he was on to talk about it. He came out to the crowd. He shook hands with the white people. Then we saw the black people. He stopped. He hugged them, kissed them on the cheek. Then he went to the next white people, shake hands. Then we see another black person, hug and kiss them on the cheek. Like, he's asking for forgiveness, you know.
We've reached, so I think, awkward. I think what we've reached is, first of all, you can't change anything that you don't acknowledge. This is the one thing that we know. When you acknowledge that you have hurt a race, a religion, a creed, and you recognize that it's something that would be deemed today as a disgusting act, regardless of who did it and when and where, if you come out and get ahead of the story, because imagine if this was in, like, a tabloid newspaper that 30 years ago he did blah, 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 or he confided in this person that he did this and almost did that. One, nobody knew about it. Two, he brought it up. The person that was raped has since passed along. So I guess in his mind he felt that all of the things that have happened is something to bring up. Second of all, we talked about this also, how we also, when we hear about killings with guns, we hear about children getting shot, we jump all over the politicians that always say, this is not the time to talk about it, it's so raw, et cetera, et cetera. And then what ends up happening, thoughts and prayers, sweep it under the rug, and move on to the next shooting. In this case, this is the perfect time to talk about it because our nation is so divided amongst racial lines now that we have to define what is racist, what is offensive, and actually talk about it. And I have no problem with Liam Neeson coming out and saying, I did this. That doesn't necessarily mean I am an evil person. This means I was trying to do everything in my power to protect somebody, and I ended up taking the rage into a racial state that could have done some really big harm to someone, but did not. He recognized what it was and is now bringing it up in the conversation where others who may have gone through something similar don't end up doing the same thing that he almost did. Because I guarantee you, although he didn't do something, somebody somewhere has. And if he can prevent that from the discussion and getting that frank discussion of, like I said before, where people don't deny that racism doesn't exist and they realize that it does and they can actually be comfortable enough to hear the criticism from the oppressed and then give suggestions to the oppressor, then we can make some progress. Until then,
right,
this is going to be the same issue that we run into because it'll be somebody else that has the same thing to say.
Right, and people just miss the message of, you know, the revenge part that he was talking about, why he felt revenge, because it's no different than, like, I think it's Michael B. Jordan who had to take a break and, you know, get a little counseling from Black Panther because he felt that rage.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yes.
about self-acknowledgement and acknowledging what's going on with you as far as yourself. And I actually like that because them as men being able to come out and say, you know what, I need help with this.
Exactly.
There's some people that, not even just men and women, that don't even want to acknowledge that, hey, something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with your tone. What's going on with that? You
That's
understand what I mean? What's the anger?
It's a very good example that you said there. It's true.
But my problem is overall is the backlash that he's getting from this. Like, once again, back to the original topic that we had earlier. Okay, you upset that he said this. Well, they're the same mindset of other racist people out there. But once again, you complain, you upset about what Liam Neeson meant to do, but you will go out and buy products that from other racist people. Like, once again, Tommy Hilfiger, Ralph Lauren, and all that stuff. You once again get upset buying wigs from the Koreans and the Asians. And
yeah, it's kind of like you're okay with giving Gucci and Prada and everybody else your money, but you don't want to give it to Trump, right?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying.
So I think, like, I love what Brother B told us a while back. The problem with us overall, we pick and choose our battles.
Yes, we
do. Little battle, Lady T takes us out. We cannot pick one full battle. And like I said earlier, we are our own worst enemy. We can never, it seemed like we can never, I hate to use the word never, ever to work together to finish one major project.
Yeah.
You know, you hear the stories all the time, how the Asians work together, the Jews work together. Go ahead, kiddo.
No, we don't work together because, okay, we talk about all the black, we talk about all these designers, right? We talk about, oh, yeah, we go to the stores and stuff. But how many of us as a people, when we have our own businesses, do we treat customers the same as they do in other stores? How do we welcome our own when we walk into the stores? I've experienced rudeness. You know, it's not like it's kind of cold, like, oh, why are you here? But yet, as soon as a white person comes in, you welcome them. Why is that?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you, Kato. If I look at you, I'll be rude to you, too, you know, the way you look. So I'm just saying, you know. What?
No, he's not sober anymore.
No, damn, yeah, he ain't sober.
No, but I said what Kato was trying to say, like, you know, once again, Kate, Sean and I was in an elevator in my job building, in the elevator. And one white woman came in and saw us, and she stands in the corner of the elevator, like, watching for her life. I'm like, wait a minute, there's two guys in a building elevator in the office. My job.
Yeah.
What are you afraid of, you know? And there's that mentality of, like, scaring of racism, of society. Which I'm sure you probably heard of stories of, you know, females being raped or being groped in an elevator or the fear of black men. And, you know, you got white people being fear of us. We are fear of each other. It's like the constant fear of black people is amazing. You know, when you see an Asian person, do you get afraid of them? When you see Jew, are you afraid of them? Well, they might take your money in a different way, but still. But when black people see each other, we have some type of fear or some hatred towards each other right away for some crazy reason. Tisha, finish it off.
Wait, what? What was the question?
No, final statement about everything, about racism, about black people being fear of one another, of how we treat each other overall.
I don't know, Trump 2020, that's all I got to say. I don't know. I don't know. What the heck y'all want me to say? Because I don't know.
Oh, boy.
You know what?
I'm just
I don't care what the media said, what anybody said. Trump is a game changer, and the media loves Trump, and they want him to win.
He was actually, I believe, in Texas, rallying amidst the fact that the shutdown, which may have happened, could have happened on Friday, but from what I was looking at, it seems like it's been averted.
Yeah.
He was out there campaigning amidst all of this chaos. So,
yeah, one of his tactics to get, you know, attention back on him. And,
exactly.
You know, it's really disgusting with those rallies. I'm drained with that.
Or to divert attention from the investigation that's going on.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
There's a good possibility that a lot of this nonsense is happening to keep the American public away. We're putting their heads, as you say, like the ostrich sticking his head in the sand, so that nobody is talking. Because remember, during a lot of this whole shutdown, it was very rare that you were hearing anybody complaining about the Russia investigation, even though it's still going on. Now that the shutdown was over, you started to hear an uptick of some of that news. So, yeah, go figure.
I'm sorry. There's no investigation. Yeah. There's nothing going on because if they found something, they'll have done something already.
You got to remember, the investigation is not going to let out news before they're ready to let it out.
Exactly.
And remember, it took three years for Watergate to finish everything on President Nixon before he resigned.
Yep.
So you can't even say that, Hot Rod.
Yeah.
No, they're going to find something after Trump leaves, okay? I guarantee you that.
Well, then that means there's going to be no Trump for 2020 if they find it. It's going to be perfect timing regardless of when they find it. I'm sorry. So what's the difference?
Oh, well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, Lady T, K-Dog, and Sean Black, and Donald Trump, thank you so much. As always, the pleasure was all yours.
Yes.
And happy Valentine's Day to all you suckers out there. Okay?
Oh,
it's up to me.
Happy Valentine's Day.
What? I celebrate Valentine's Day with my loved one. The bottle, of course.
Of course.
Oh, boy.
Good night, everyone. God bless.
Good night, young.
Good night, everybody.
Night.